Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
In Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell live at SEC Media Days. Glad to have you, man. It's been a fun day. Our man Brad Nessler stopped by. We just had the left tackle for the Florida Gators on the show. If you missed any of these interviews, by the way, make sure you go to 92.9thegame.com and click on our big faces, and you can access any of these interviews. Dari Noka came on from ESPN. Actually, it's SEC Nation. We've had a variety of guests on today and some players as well. And make sure you check out Rick and John's guest as well. Guys, they had a bunch of guys coming on today from 11 or check that 10 till 2 o'clock.
Hey, man, we got more to dive into, including what's going down with Georgia. And the expectations, obviously, are through the roof, as you'd expect now that Kirby has kind of got things cooking. But we had some interesting conversations with our buddy Big Bill Hancock from the College Football Playoff Committee. And kind of get the vibe from Bill that, you know, Georgia, and we mentioned this earlier in the Dog Report, with the schedule and the weakness. Now, last year, the Notre Dame win put them on the map, was a major, major factor in those meetings that they have, those behind closed doors in the playoff committee. But this year, Carl, you don't really have that bounce from the out-of-conference schedule, so you don't really have a margin for error. And the reason I bring it up is you could fall victim to the same thing that kept Wisconsin out of the mix. A one-loss Wisconsin team, even though Georgia did lose late at Jordan-Hare, the win against Notre Dame was really big. They don't have that. So a couple of things. You hope that Georgia Tech doesn't suck. You know, that maybe Georgia Tech could be a 6 or 7 or 8 win team by the time you get to them, and that might actually give you a bounce, if nothing else.
Yeah, the good news for Dog fans is because of the way the Dogs finished last year, they will start high in these early rankings.
Right.
Now, remember, that's just a – it's just a it's kind of foreshadowing to the College Football Playoff Committee's rankings.
Yeah, the AP and everything else means nothing, because the one that matters is the one that comes in late October.
But it does help if you are a top 10 team, and the Dogs will be that early on in the season. Now, here's the deal. You get through that first month of September, Mike. You get through, you know, week 6, early October, and then the College Football Playoff rankings come out late October. If you are a top 7 or 8 team, and let's say the Dogs are in that mix, you're going to be in a really good position as the season goes on with wins, as we've said, to put yourself in position to be one of those top 4 teams. That's the good news. It's not like the Dogs are 25 looking, you know, the top 25 ranked team, and they're looking from the outside in. They're going to have a window to really make some room, but you said it. They can't slip up. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks now, and I truly believe it. I know Dog fans don't want to hear. I don't think they can lose a game this year just based on a schedule, a strength of schedule that has them 43rd in the country. You slip up against one of these weaker, lesser teams,
right,
it's going to come back to bite you in December when we're talking about they should be in.
Kirby, what he had to say today in front of the assembled media here at SEC Media Days at the College Football Hall of Fame is part of the headlines today.
It is, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at SEC Media Days. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, let's get to story number one, and that is the Dogs. Now, Kirby did speak today, and I mentioned this earlier. If you didn't hear him this morning, actually it was midday, the thing that he talked about was potential and effectiveness. And that's what he says he's been preaching to his team. You know, everybody talks about the potential because you got all these 5 stars. You got kids coming back. The Dogs, as a matter of fact, have 8 on offense coming back, 5 on defense. You know, in Kirby's 2 seasons, they're 21-7. But they played for the national championship last year. Today, Terry Godwin was here. A kid that he's known since 9th grade, Jonathan Ledbetter, was also here to represent the Dogs. And J.R. Reed, who was a transfer, by the way, from Frisco, Texas. But let's hear from our man Terry Godwin, who I think, Mike, is going to have another big year for the Dogs.
Just not looking back on last season, just looking forward to the future and taking on our next game, trying to get better at what we didn't have last year, and just trying to proceed with these younger guys and instilling what they instilled in us earlier.
So what do they need to improve on? You know, Fromm's coming back. He had over 26 yards passing. Swift is back in the backfield. Limited carries. I say that because, of course, the two guys in front of him went to the NFL, but he still gained over 618 yards.
Right.
Godwin was the leading wide receiver for the Dogs. So it's not as if you don't have some pieces, as I said. 8 on offense, 5 on defense, but you've been saying it. Defensively, how do they come back from all the guys they sent to the NFL?
Well, that's just it, especially when you play South Carolina early, and we talked about that with our buddy Brian Jones from CBS Sports, and you got to go to Missouri. We talked about that with Ness, and yeah, we don't really know what they're going to be bringing to the table defensively, but they know with Drew Locke they can go vertical. They actually got up on Georgia with some big plays between the hedges on a Saturday night before Georgia responded and obviously thumped Missouri down the stretch, but not a cakewalk. These are two road games early for young guys. Now, you could argue, Carl, that once you're in that, you know, you're in the Kirby mindset and you're a dog and you've seen what it takes and you know what the guys ahead of you were doing and you are a 4 or 5-star recruit, that this should be what Alabama did. Now we're off and running. So these guys will take maybe some lumps, maybe give up some big plays early, but Georgia's got enough talent to get through the early part of the schedule.
Well, let's hear from Kirby Smart as well, who talked about last year's big games are going to be a big help as far as, you know, looking to the future and the guys that were here. Here's Kirby Smart talking to the media today.
The experience that our players were able to have going through that stretch run, I think will draw confidence, not false bravado, but confidence in big games that we have in the future.
Here's a big thing for me, Mike, as we talk about the Dogs. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our top 3 at 6. And we'll talk about the All-Star game tonight, which will feature 4 Braves in just a minute. But the Dogs were first in the SEC in rushing. 258 yards a game. And in many games, we know they did more than that. The point is, that took a lot of pressure off of Fromm. And when he were able to hand the ball off last year to Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, we said this, Fromm didn't have to do as much. I don't know if that's the case this year. Now, the good news is, this is supposed to be the best offensive line they've had, right?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you got the depth there. You got guys that have actually had a redshirt year under the belt, guys like Ben Cleveland. You got better offensive line than Mark Brick, you could argue, ever had, other than maybe the 2012 season. So that should be less of a concern. Then you got the wide receivers, you know, getting more out of these guys. And by the way, one guy we didn't really mention, we talked a little about it briefly yesterday. I got the impression from Kirby today, it doesn't sound like he's really waiting to hear what the NCAA is going to say about Demetrius Robertson. Mm. And it's almost like, is he going to get the waiver? Is he not? Doesn't sound like Kirby's really saying, well, we're concerned about the guys who can practice, who are ready to go. You certainly have enough talent at wide receiver. Then at the running backs, DeAndre Swift was the most explosive guy per play. And then you throw in Zamir White once he's healthy. So, yeah. Takes the pressure off Fromm. The only pressure Fromm's going to receive is from a man named Justin Fields.
Yeah.
When he gets on the field. And Kirby also talked about that today.
Yeah, he did. And basically saying this is a good problem to have. Do you have that Kirby Smart cut, Craig, back in the studio talking about Fields and Jake Fromm?
Every position on our team is a competition. So why would it not be that way? You know, is Jake Fromm the returning starter? Absolutely. He played for a national championship. But is every player on the team going to get an opportunity? Is every punter, kicker, holder, every position we're going to have great competition? And I think this year, that's what excites me the most, is that you can go across the board with our top 85, you can say scholarship guys, or 100, including the walk-ons. We're going to have some awesome competition in camp.
No job is safe, is what Kirby's saying.
Right.
And, guys, that's when you know you're good. You just can't say, well, you had a bad practice. We'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
You had a bad practice. The next man up is going to get an opportunity. It's Dukes and Bell. Story number 2's All-Star game tonight. Let's hear from Max Scherzer, who gets a start for the National League. He says it's kind of unbelievable.
So I can only imagine what it's going to be like to have the Nats fans here supporting all of us, Bryce and Doolittle as well. So it's just an unbelievable honor that to be able to have that recognition, to be able to go out there and start this thing again, because this is just a dream come true.
Now, for us, obviously, Braves fans, Brave Country, it's Freddie and obviously Nick Markakis, Albies. It's just going to be a cool experience. Folty, I just want to see these guys get in, do a little something. Don't get hurt, and you know, let's get the second half of the season ramped up. But I do want to be entertained tonight.
Right. Well, that's one thing. The home run derby, I thought it was great to see. Like, whether you like Bryce Harper or not, the guy put on a show. And his dad put on a show. I mean, his dad's throwing some serious cheese up there, and he's hitting it 450 feet. And the fans, good job, as Bryce Harper thanked everybody.
Yes.
Give me that volume, Craig, on that one, where Bryce Harper, if you didn't see it, he comes from behind to beat Schwarber, hits that last home run to buy him an extra 30. I really like the format, by the way.
It's much better.
I can remember years ago when you had guys. guys sitting there and it's like I'm just taking pitch after pitch after pitch, putting the guys on the clock has really created a sense of urgency with the thing. Now, as far as the All-Star game, I love that as a kid. Remember watching your favorite players, especially when your team was struggling. Now the Braves are hopefully turned a corner, but really cool to see four guys in the home white of the Braves on that first baseline.
Let's hear from Chris Sale, who's going to start for the other side tonight. So it's Scherzer taking on Chris Sale.
Big honor. I know this hasn't happened very often in a long time, so I appreciate it. I'm going to try to have some fun with it, too. So that's why we're all here, too. So we're gripping, ripping. Try to get some wins.
Yeah, man, we talked to Schultz earlier. Jeff Schultz now from The Athletic covering Atlanta sports, and he was saying much ado about nothing, about guys worried about too much torque on the back or the wrist or whatever you're worried about, Freddie's body parts in the home run derby. I got to be honest with you. Didn't embarrass himself and got out of there, and I think that, like for most Braves fans like you and me, we're happy with that.
I'm very happy. The other baseball news, guys, outside of the All-Star game tonight is Manny Machado, and I want you to hear from Manny Machado. The rumor is there is a deal in place for Machado. The O's are working on it. I don't know if it's with the Dodgers. There was speculation earlier today that it's with the Dodgers. I only say that because I know Braves fans were saying, hey, I'd take this guy. I don't think the Braves are going to make this move. Here's Manny Machado.
I don't know what the right fit is, obviously, till it's there. The only thing I've ever known has been the Orioles organization. They drafted me. They came up with the organization, played with them, done everything with them. So I don't know anything different.
Well, here's one thing.
What's that?
And we talked with Schultz earlier. He was thinking, you know, we got to be patient with the Braves. He doesn't think the total package is there to be worth mortgaging a piece of your future as far as prospects. What if the Phillies outbid the Dodgers? Now, that's kind of hard to see because the Dodgers always have more money than anybody, like the Yankees. But what if the Phillies land Manny Machado?
That's a problem. Now, again,
I mean, is there going to be Alex Anthopoulos feeling pressure, whether it's from us in the media or the fan base, to step up and do likewise?
Well, I don't know if you can go get a player of his value.
Because there isn't, but you got to do something, Carl.
Yeah, you do. And I do think they will, Mike. I do think they're going to do something. I just don't think it'll be to the magnitude of that. And by the way, if he does end up in Philly, there's no guarantee that he will be there. But they're going to be risking and giving up a lot just to say we're trying to win this division with not knowing if a guy's going to re-sign. It's Dukes and Bell. Story number three, guys, before we get to your chance to win $1,000 is, of course, about our Falcons. The Julio sighting has a lot of folks excited. We talked about it. You mentioned Jeff Schultz. We talked about it today. That picture that Calvin Ridley put out saying, you know, squad goals, we're out here working. That picture was taken out there in California. Again, for me, as we count down the camp, and Mike and I will be there, we'll be announcing where we'll be up there at the Flowery Branch and what's going on here in the next week or so. But we're there, and we're taking it in like everybody else, and we try to bring you the first-rate coverage that we can here on the game. I need to see Julio in uniform. This is a nice gesture by him to accept the offer to go out there and work out with Matt and company. But for me, it's about the real work, and I'm not saying they're not doing real things, but going up against True and Rocky and seeing the guys that he was going, you know, the kind of competition he'll be going up against, Mike, week in and week out, and making plays, man. I need to see that when camp rolls around.
I'm glad he's there. I mean, I'm happier. I think we'd be talking about if he wasn't there. That might be a little more inconspicuous, right, if he wasn't there.
It'd be disheartening, yeah.
Right? I always get that wrong. Be conspicuous if he wasn't there. So either way, Julio's out there putting the work in with Matt and the guys, but it's more important, I think, for many Falcon fans to put the work in with the team, with the coaches and everybody else. Hey, speaking of Julio, when we come back after we give away some loot, some more NFL news and notes, including a wide receiver getting paid, which may have some bearing on what Julio's deal might look like.
Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Green.
Hey, man.
I like green. You like green?
Hell yeah.
Green is money, right? G-R-E-E-N, green. Text to the 72881. That's 72881. The word is green, guys, this hour for your chance to win $1,000.
Get some green, Joe.
Hey, and for complete rules and details, go to 929thegame.com. What's this other news in the NFL?
Brandon Cooks gets a deal, man. Brandon Cooks, a 5-year, $80 million contract extension from the Rams. Remember, he was traded from the Saints to the Patriots. Patriots only have him for 1 year. They trade for a big draft pick, sent him out west. I would say, and we'll talk more about this coming up, Aaron Donald.
Uh-oh.
They ain't going to have enough room for Aaron Donald if you're going to be giving this kind of money around in addition to all the other contracts that they took on or made happen earlier this offseason. Remember, the Rams won the month of March. But this is curious to see how they have any money for the premier defensive tackle in the league. But Brandon Cooks gets paid. Will Julio want a similar deal or some kind of bonus similar to what Brandon Cooks just got?
Interesting stuff. Hey, man, we'll come back. We'll tell you what we learned today here, day two of SEC Media Days.
I'll tell you what I learned.
What'd you learn, man?
I'm ready to go home.
Me too. Hey, we'll come back. We'll let you in on some other things that are going on. Florida and what Dan Mullen had to say. He kind of stole the show, and I mean that in a good way. Like, just from the standpoint of Mullen showing up with the kicks, leaving the tag on, a lot of people were buzzing about Mullen on social media.
A little Spurrier, a little bit of a Spurrier vibe. Will they explain what that's all about, and does it have any bearing on what the cocktail party is going to look like this year for Georgia fans?
Okay. Wow. It is Dukes and Bell, man.
Something new.
Yeah, it is. We're down here at SEC Media Days. We're at the Omni. And I'll tell you something, Mike. Today, Dan Mullen came in here, and he surprised a lot of people.
Well, unlike most of the coaches that have made their way through SEC Media Days so far, he actually showed a modicum of personality. We're big fans of Dan Mullen. I know some guys think he's a used car salesman. We talked about this yesterday. I've always liked the guy.
Yep.
I know that Jeremy Foley kind of rubs a lot of people the wrong way, the old AD. Either way, I think got the right man for the job at Florida. Georgia's got a head start now because things are cooking. But we did talk earlier with a member of the Florida Gators, and it was at Martez Ivy.
Martez.
It was basically telling us that he came back because he felt there was some unfinished business. And he looked up at the scoreboard. Hey, we're getting beat in 20. A lot of embarrassing beatdowns last year for Florida. So, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to turn it around, but Dan Mullen is a guy that knows what to do, and he's done it at a place like Miss State where nobody ever gives anyone a chance of doing anything. And to get Dak Prescott and get all the way to an Orange Bowl one year is pretty impressive.
A couple of things we learned today. A lot of people are saying Dan Mullen threw a curveball today when asked about the offense because people said, oh, well, he's going to run the same offense he ran at Miss State.
Mm-mm.
And Mullen was quoted today as saying, well, last year's offense at Miss State will not be the Gators' offense in 2018. Quote, we will change the offense around the strengths of the quarterback. I love this. You know, I've said this. This is what you have to do. You have to adapt. You don't recruit a kid and then go, oh, well, we need you to change your style. Georgia can't change what Justin Fields is. He is a dual-threat kid who can do it all. Adjust the offense. And I say that. That's why I think Fields is going to play. But this doesn't surprise me. Mullen's offense, based on what they did last year at Miss State, different set of personnel, different quarterback at Florida. Adjust.
Now, a lot of people, and Squid Billy, who's a big Florida fan, our producer, feels that Emory Jones is going to get redshirted. He's not going to start. We'll see, though. Kyle Trask and Felipe Franks, they're going to fit Dan. Maybe Dan Mullen realizes that the Emory Jones, a five-star recruit, is the better option. I think he's one of the top four or five quarterbacks, depending on who you go by. So they got some quarterback depth. Felipe Franks got all the physical measurables you're looking for. And it was kind of funny because one thing you noticed last year, if you're watching Florida, you know, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium was not rocking. Fans were distraught with McElwain. McElwain brought on himself. A lot of people thought it was nonsense what he threw out there about the death threats, couldn't back it up. It's something a coach shouldn't go down that road anyway. So I thought it was really funny today is Dan Mullen takes a page out of Spurrier's book, gives you something for the writers to get a chuckle out of, says, you know, the president wants to drain the swamp. I want to fill the swamp. The swamp, for those that aren't familiar, Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, the nickname is the swamp down in Gainesville. So, like, I like Dan, man. I think that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is a totally different style of guy. You're going to hear him later this week. He's just, you know, all serious and all business. But there's a couple of programs, you know, the SEC East should never be as down as it's been the last 10 years. Let's be honest. It never should be that way. You know, you go back and you look at we all look at the SEC West. There are many years that Florida wins the East, and we give them no shot in that championship game.
Here's why Mike and I make fun, and it's not all of our median brothers. But today, if you missed this, during the Kirby Smart press conference in what we call the main room, a guy asked Kirby Smart, and it's on tape, all right? He gets on the microphone, and he asked Kirby, oh, so Kirby, what's it like to have, you know, three guys like Jake Fromm and Eason and Fields in the same on the same team? And Kirby had to do a double take. And he goes, well, you know, it feels good, but Eason's transferred. Come on, man.
Where's this dude from?
Who knows? But this is what we talk about all the time. It became the laughing stock of the room. Mm-hmm. Guys were whispering. You know, one guy was in the back going, well, you know, it's good to have Chubb, Sony Michel, and Herschel coming back next year. I mean, what are you thinking? It's like this is why we make fun of some of our brethren in the media here at this event, because it's like everybody here seems, not everybody, but most guys are here seemingly to impress, and you get up and you ask a dumbass question. Oh, what's it like to have Eason and Fromm and Justin Fields in the same room? Eason's gone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've all asked dumb questions over our careers in press conferences, but this place generally does take the cake. I'll give you that one, my brother. So, look, the SEC likes to be able to go and say, we've given out 2,000 credentials for this thing. this thing has become so overbloated, and we do our best to get you as many guys as we can, but this thing is just – and now everybody follows suit. The ACC, we were talking about this off the air with Bill Hancock.
It starts tomorrow, right?
The ACC for years, from a media standpoint, all the fans want to do is hear from the coaches and the players, as many as you can get. ACC used to have a real casual vibe where you play golf, and it was really kind of – no fans were involved. It was great.
Wait. I like how you threw that in there. No, we played golf.
Dude, I told the story before. my old partner, David Pollock and I, we were up there 1 year, and I swear to God, the ACC media days, it was like an Episcopal Church mixer, because Commissioner Swofford would get up there and say, all right, we're going to have the coaches come up, and then we're going to have cocktails, and then, of course, we're going to have another media round, then we're going to have more cocktails, and then we're going to meet on the veranda, and we're going to have finger sandwiches and more cocktails. I was like, this is the greatest media days ever.
This is awesome.
And then they'd have it at a place like at Reynolds Plantation at Oconee, or they'd have it at...
It's not Reynolds anymore, by the way.
Well, they took the plantation out for obvious reasons.
It's not that.
Hey, boss. But they took it up to the...
Come on, chief.
They were up at the Grandover up in North Carolina and Greensboro. But, yeah, man. So the point I'm getting to is all you want as the fans is to hear all your favorite players and coaches. Yep. And basically this thing has become just an overblown TV car wash with all the radio knuckleheads thrown in a banquet room.
All right. Speaking of having a good time in Oconee, let's talk about our brew, man, because we're going to be out at Twin Peaks on Friday. We will have brew out there for you. It's Hey Man. It's Dukes and Bells Hey Man Ale. If you've not had a chance to try it, we're encouraging you to check it out. We've heard from beer snobs all over the country now, and I say that loosely. We've heard from some people who are really hardcore beer folks, man.
And they like
IPA,
the brew.
Yeah, and they like the brew. So we're inviting you to check it out. I think it's exciting, Mike, that we can't reveal what the can is going to look like.
But the can looks awesome.
But the can is kick A, man.
We showed Brad Nesser. Nesser's like, whoa, look at that. That cuts glass.
So it's coming.
And thanks, by the way, to Dutch. We're busting his chops because I know that the artiste was working, but they came up with a really cool can. I think it definitely – you'll be proud to have that in your hand at your tailgate. Put it that way.
No doubt.
Or in your – you'll be proud to put that Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale in your Yeti. In your koozie, baby. Stick it right in your koozie, Carl.
Stick it in your koozie.
Your koozie will never be happier to have that can in there.
I just can't wait to be like, at the tailgate and somebody's like, hey, you want a brew? And I'm like, yeah, try this. Hey, man. And then you just throw it to him.
Now we got to get some ad campaigns, TV campaigns. You'd be like Billy D. Hey, man, Ale works every time.
Code 45.
Hey, Lando. Hey, Lando, you gonna go pimp? We got to get Billy D to pimp the beer for us, man.
Anytime I want to drink an ice cold brew.
And I want to pull some ladies.
And I want sexy women. All I do is pull out a Hey Man.
I keep one under my cape. Anyway, man, the Hey Man Ale from our buddies at Oconee Brewing. They're going to have it in here, I'm told, by maybe already. They're going to have it at Grindhouse Burgers. And we're also trying to get our buddy Scotty McCray to get it in his restaurants as well. So we've got a ton of locations. We put up the names of the stores. It goes in every time we get a new one. So check it out on Twitter. He's put them up, C-Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. But I did talk to Dutch. Last time we were at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, we ran out of the beer. We're going to have two kegs.
Son.
We're going to have two kegs
for you. I was out that day.
It was me and Randy Mack.
Yeah.
So we're going to have two.
Randy drank it all?
Well, Randy and I had a little, but anyway, and now we're not allowed to drink anymore. But
wait, what?
That's off the. We don't know who the rat is. Somebody ratted me out to management. We don't know who that is. I got my suspicions. But anyway, guys, we're gonna have two kegs of Hey Man Ale.
What is this, Goodfellas? Yeah.
Somebody's gonna rat me out on the questioning, Henry. But we'll have two kegs for you of the Hey Man Ale Friday at Twin Peaks. So if you hadn't had it, come and get it.
All right, man. We're looking forward to that.
So, I don't know if you gave a thermos to a bartender. I don't know if that violates state liquor laws. if they poured that so you can take it home. But if you want to bring some containment vessels, we'll try to work around that. We'll see if we can get something home for you.
All right, man. It is Dukes and Bell. By the way, we're here tomorrow. Bo, can you – and I don't have it in front of me. The schedule for tomorrow, I know Alabama is here, and I'm curious to see if all those Bama fans show up. Because, it's close proximity when we're in Hoover. And they make that drive, and it is just Bama fans everywhere. And, by the way, good showing today for Georgia fans. A lot of Florida fans showed up as well. But tomorrow, just so you know, it is Miss State. It is the Tennessee Volunteers. Jeremy Pruitt is set to join, I believe, the midday guys at some point tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. It is Alabama that is here and Mizzou. So those are the four teams that will be here tomorrow at SEC Media Days. And obviously Nick Saban's going to, be the guy that everybody's talking about, coming off of another national championship.
Right.
And an SEC, not an SEC championship, but a national championship in which, as you mentioned, Mike, quarterback controversy. I think it's real. He's going to try to downplay that. Now, speaking to our brethren here in this room, I hope somebody does ask that question tomorrow and get Nick stirred up about the quarterbacks, because that's what needs to happen.
Well, I mean, it is interesting because, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, the knock on him, as you guys well know, during the season was he threw too many picks or whatever. The guy came in there. I mean, look, we've had the 28-3 we had to live down. We had to live down second and 26 in Atlanta or Metro Atlanta with Georgia fans. But second and 26, you got Alabama pinned. You're thinking, wow, it's going to be a long field goal attempt. And then, boom, a defensive breakdown. Safety's going to basically get lulled to sleep. And I don't have to tell you how it ended. But, yeah, he's got two quarterbacks capable of winning. Georgia's got two quarterbacks capable of winning. Clemson's got two quarterbacks. If you're a good elite program, Ohio State just had Burrow go to LSU. I think fans that are losing their minds over this, first have some sense of perspective. It's not a problem until it's a problem, so don't make it one. And Kirby, trust him to figure out how to get the most out of it. But Kirby basically answered the question today. We played you the soundbite earlier. There's too much talent with Justin Fields. Don't even worry about the four games in the redshirt. He's going to play this year. He's going to lose a year eligibility because they're going to get him on the field.
Hey, real quick note, John Heyman reports Machado all but certain to be dealt within a day or two. Everyone expects it to be the Dodgers.
Okay.
So, again, that's what I said. The rumor was out there early. I'm only bringing this up because it's something we've been talking about, Mike. But John Heyman has been covering baseball for a long time, saying he will be dealt in a day or two. Again, nothing's going to take away from the All-Star game tonight. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you got those couple of off days before the Braves get back at it. I think he is dealt in that time period and probably reports to his new team on Friday.
Hey, man, tomorrow, guys, are going to be at Twin Peaks. A couple of guys said, Mike, they texted and go,
Friday,
I should say. Believe me, I'd give $5,000 to be out of this freaking hotel room, this ballroom, and be out at a bar. But, more SEC Media Days fun tomorrow. A thin slice of heaven right here, guys, from 10 until 7 on 92.9 The Game.
All right, what we got for our game winner tonight, man?
A product that you buy because of the advertising. Something when it comes down to, like, picking your product. Something you like because either the commercial made you chuckle, you like the spokesperson. I mean, sometimes it comes down to that. Maybe you don't even think about it. Back in the old days, Tide was the first sponsor to realize that women made, you know, a lot of decisions when it came to the products, and that half of the NASCAR fan base was female. So Tide got on Ricky Rudd's car, or Darrell Waltrip's back in the day, and then people sort of realized, hey, Madison Avenue, we can make some loot off this. You know what I love?
What's that?
And it's funny because I don't use Geico now, but I used to love the Geico commercials. It's the most creative. Is there a product out there, a design or something? What is the way the thing looks or the way the commercial sounds?
Okay, I'll tell you mine when we come back because I'm a cigar connoisseur. I will tell you this story. You might be able to relate.
All right, guys, 404-741-0929. I drink Dos Equis. I first learned about Dos Equis from the world's most interesting man.
No doubt.
Right.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
It's all about marketing. We just got a little sneak peek at what our beer cans are going to look like for our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale. How much of the sizzle comes to you buying that steak? Talking about the way the product is packaged, the way the commercials look, the jingles, things like that. Does that have any play when you make your decisions as a consumer?
Yeah, I think it does. Obviously, the marketing research has shown as much. I am a cigar aficionado. I will tell you, there is a brand, and I'm not disparaging them by any stretch of the imagination, but they do a great job of branding. Gurkha does a great job of branding their cigars. But there are some cigars that don't market that way, and they're terrific. And you would never know, and you would pass right by it if you didn't know what you were looking for. A lot of cigar companies are doing this, Mike, where they're like, oh, look at the branding. And you're like, yeah, but the cigar's not that good. Prime example, and that's one something that I can speak to because we were just talking about this the other day. Like, oh, I buy that brand. Why do you buy that brand? Oh, well, look at the packaging. It means nothing.
So you're telling me that somebody who purchases a Swisher Sweet as opposed to a Cohiba has been lured in, by the way, how snazzy it looks behind the counter there at Racetrack.
But I do think the marketing does play. And you know what? I've said this about my mom. She was the one. Brands. She loved her brands and never went away from them.
I got to be honest with you. My grandmother was always brands. I mean, the generic thing came up. I'm not buying that stuff.
Yep.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What's the product? And maybe you were swayed by advertising or the way it was marketed. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I used to hear the Dos Equis commercials all the time, and I was sitting in a Mexican restaurant, and the old guy's cardboard cutout was sitting there staring at me. That's the first time I ever tried Dos Equis Amber, and I was stuck on it. But ever since they changed to this new guy, if I see his cutout, I want to hide my kids in the closet.
That's a weird point.
Yeah, the guy, he's got, you know, the ears, Carl. It looks like a taxi cab coming down Broadway with both doors open.
Yeah, listen, and that gives you an idea of how much that branding, you know, the most interesting man in the world. And you'd hear that, and you'd be like, yeah, I want one of those. And you didn't even know what
they
it was.
They had to bring Rob Riggle in to the Dos Equis ads because the other guy was creeping people out. Yeah. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. That's a perfect example right there. What do you got for us, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
going on, fellas? Yeah, I got a little odd one, man. Only thing that's going to make me purchase something based on the commercial and the advertising are condoms. Got to be ribbed for her pleasure.
Ribbed for her? Oh, did he just say condoms?
Yes. That's more about a personal choice rather than the way it's marketed.
I was going to say, that's more about your comfort. Or maybe hers.
Well, they're doing those commercials now that are kind of funny.
I know.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Talking about a little sizzle.
I didn't expect that one.
I thought he was going to go with like the, never mind. Hey, man, you're on. He's going to be bragging. You're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for us?
Well, Bob, exactly. I'm going to have to go with Michael Jackson commercial with Pepsi, Bob. Ever since I've seen that commercial, I never wanted a jerry curl, Bob.
Oh, Stinger, you are tripping. Remember that Pepsi commercial? He looked like a big lighter, his hair caught on fire.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was big news back in the day.
Sure
Michael
was.
Jackson's curl caught on fire, man.
Guys, you know, when it comes to sodas, I love Royal Crown Cola because sometimes quality
Royal Crown
is overrated. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us for a little advertising, maybe a little marketing, help you make a decision on buying something? What you got?
Hey, it's Bobby in Kennesaw. If Bart Simpson likes Butterfingers, then I like Butterfingers.
Bart Simpson. There you go.
No, you know what?
Simpsons have a draw.
That's right.
I never even, you know, that ad campaign still goes on and on and on.
Yeah, no, it does. And that's another thing. How many times has someone, either your favorite entertainer or singer, done an ad for a product, and then you're like, yeah, I'm going to check that out. And you had no interest in it, but you like that individual who's advertising for that product.
Remember Bartles and James, the two old guys with the wine coolers? We were talking about that the other day.
Great example.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
That's you. Hey, man.
Jeremiah, what's up, baby?
I'm a little partial to Flo on the Geico commercials. Flo.
That's kind of creepy, Jeremiah. But by the way, she's also become an icon in the gay and lesbian community, by the way. I've read that in Advertising Age. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Not to lump you in there, Jeremiah, because that would probably make you upset. You're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got for us?
I'm afraid to disparage what Jeremiah just said, but I have to disagree with his choice of lady. Hey, if the Dodgers sign Machado, do we get Go Manny again?
Yes, we could, technically. Go Manny, go Dodgers, because remember the old days?
That's right.
I got a chance to go to a Dodger game when Manny was out there, and it was so fun because the East L.A. crowd, still loyal to the Dodgers to a fault. Go Manny, go Dodgers.
Yeah, just don't get beat up out there, all right?
We'll always wear Dodger blue.
Ravine is a great place to watch a game. It's one of the best settings in baseball.
Right.
But just don't get beat up. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Advertising, marketing, made you make a decision. What do you got?
Well, I kind of like Neil Patrick Harris when he was doing the Heineken commercials. I personally don't like Heineken, but I like those commercials that he did. They were funny and they were pretty cool.
Yeah, because remember, I can't drink on TV. But it's about to go fade to black and all that.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, you go, I really don't like this product, but I like the actor or actress or singer or whatever it might be.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. But you know what I always get a kick out of?
What's that?
Bush.
Cool commercials.
They brought it back.
Cool commercials.
We were talking, Randy Mack still drinks Bush. I drank Bush Light when I was
like,
yeah, I know. Randy likes to save a little money when he can with his crew. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy boy. What do you got,
Come
man?
Come on, man. Come on, Randy. That's you. Hello.
Hey, man.
It's long. It's long. It's big. It's heavy. It's wood. It's long. It's long. It's better than that. It's good.
Remember the log ad?
Yes.
A parody ad, but I mean, thank you, sir. That defeats the porpoise here. You're on the radio, buddy boy. We're talking about marketing, advertising, how you get things rolling. We're a five-hour show, Bill. Bill Hancock's going, really? That's where they pay us the big bucks, Bill. We're like the Walmart of radio. 5 hours, Joe. 5 hours.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, what do you got for us?
I got the Oscar Mayer wiener truck, man. Oscar Mayer hot dogs. When I was a kid, that was the best stuff, man. Oscar Mayer hot dog commercials when that truck pulls up. You know, and, man, that was the best thing, man. Oscar Mayer hot dog.
Oh, I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener, Carl.
No, listen, it's true when you talk about, you know, things that you wanted as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those things, even if you didn't like hot dogs, you thought Oscar Mayer was the coolest thing.
Hey, man. By the way, I want to give a shout-out to a guy that used to work for me here at the Almighty Down the Dial on the AM. Steve is the this guy is a rock star in Huntsville, Alabama. Do you know that?
Is he really?
He's the biggest thing in Huntsville. He's bigger than the rocket program. I don't mean like Girthwise, Steve. He's just a really nice kid. And he's out there working, doing the radio. We got to see him on Radio Row. Good to see you, Stevie.
Hey, man. Appreciate all you guys dialing us up. We'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the show. And I'll tell you about where Atlanta United supporters can join 92.9 the game this Saturday starting at 10 a.m. We'll tell you all of that, and we'll clear our throats next on Dukes and Bell.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.